Those of us who were raised in public education were raised every morning at school standing up with our hand over our heart saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Today, just about every word of that Pledge of Allegiance is under attack. The irony of it is that many young people say it every day, and yet they live in a nation in which those words are really hollow in many regards and empty in many regards. This nation started off united, and we're seeing a large evidence of division today. It started off being under God, but it's becoming godless today. It started off with liberty and justice for all, and yet we're seeing today where liberties and justice are taken away from many people. Do you know that a little over 3,000 babies are aborted every day in this nation? Where's their liberty? Where's their justice? We say words, we make pledges, we go through the motions, and I'm fine with that. I'm glad we did all of that growing up, and I'm glad that that's still going on today. But it's really becoming, in all honesty, just simply an empty slogan and statement that we say for a few seconds and then we go on our merry way. If we don't turn some things around in this country, these words will be utterly meaningless. And we're working toward that. I hope maybe by God's grace we will turn some of that around. But this evening, we're going to talk about the last three words of what we always said growing up, justice for all. We're hearing today a lot about justice, and because of things going on today, I wanted to bring a lesson this evening. There's a lot of material here in God's Word, and so we're going to have to look at some more of it again next Sunday evening, Lord willing. But what does the Bible teach about justice? We're hearing a lot about that. And I want to begin this evening by three big takeaways before we get into some of the biblical material. The first one being that justice is going to be determined by a people who either wants God to determine that, or is man going to determine that, or will there be a combination of both? In the nation of Israel, God determined what justice was, and they lived by that. It's called the Old Testament. Our nation was founded upon what we call Judeo-Christian principles, where the founding fathers would take principles from the Judeo, the Old Testament, and Christian, the New Testament, and our Constitution and other documents of our founding fathers were based upon what we call Judeo-Christian principles. And so it's no surprise that when it comes to the American legal system for the past 244 years, there has been an emphasis on justice and treating people fairly. That wasn't by accident. That was based upon what we call Judeo-Christian principles. But as different nations, including our own, move away from God, then the system of justice is going to be based upon what man feels and what they think. And so they will determine what justice is and so forth. So we have to decide. We have to ask ourselves, are we going to have a standard of justice based upon God and His Word as this country was founded upon? Or are we going to move away from that? Or will it be sort of a combination of both? Now, we're living in a land today where you see a combination of both. And it started about 1950 in our nation. Prior to that, most of our government and so forth was based upon principles that would be what we would call godly principles. But starting in 1950, we see a shift away from that. So in our country today, we still have some godly principles, but we also have man-made principles. So that's why we have today homosexual marriages, abortion, divorce on demand, homosexuality, slowly taking away the death penalty in some of our states. What we're seeing here is a nation that is trying to struggle and ask itself, do we want God or man only? And we're in that in-between period now, where we still have some things from God and we're having more and more things from man. I would assume that if things keep going the way they do, it'll move to a purely ungodly or secular nation in time, like we see other nations around the world. So we're going to have to ask ourselves, who's going to determine justice. The second thing that is very important for us this evening is to understand that the subject of justice is not a law enforcement issue. I think sometimes people think that today. We see things on the news and we hear things about the news, and a lot of times it's framed in the context of a police officer who does something that they shouldn't do, and so there's a cry for justice. And that's happened recently in our nation, and that's why we're seeing a lot of the riots and so forth. And I don't justify the wrongdoing of any police officer, but I'm here to say this evening that justice is not just a criminal issue. It's not a law enforcement issue. It's an issue, listen very carefully, for each and every one of us every day. Each and every one of us are supposed to engage in justice with his fellow man. It's not a law enforcement issue, but it's sort of gravitated toward that, and I think I understand why. We use the word justice a lot with regard to law enforcement. For example, we have the DOJ, the Department of Justice. We have criminal justice. We have the Justice Department. All of that involves law enforcement. Okay? So the word justice gravitates toward the idea of law enforcement. And when we see somebody in law enforcement that's doing something they shouldn't do, then we cry out for justice. But let me ask you this. When was the last time you saw in the evening news where a spouse who was treating their spouse unjustly, when was the last time you heard a news story about that? Raise your hand. No? Nobody? Do you know that spouses are supposed to be just toward their... I know some spouses that are treating their husbands and wives very unjustly. Do you know that justice is supposed to be in between the employee and the employer? Between the parent and the child? Between the husband and the wife? Between the neighbor and the other neighbor? Do you know that? In fact, in the Old Testament, there is no justice that is completely in the context of law enforcement. You don't find that. You know what you find with regard to justice in the Old Testament? Every Jew, man and woman, young and old, are to be treating each other justly. You don't read Bible passages in the Old Testament where law enforcement is acting unjustly. It's everybody in society is supposed to be acting justly. And we're going to look at some of those passages in a minute. So get out of our minds this evening that when we're talking about justice, well, that's a law enforcement issue. No, it's not. Every one of us are to be acting justly. Now, of course, our law enforcement needs to act justly, but it's not a legal issue. We hear these things, criminal justice reform and things like that. There needs to be justice reform in our marriages and in our families and at work and at school. Our young people here, when they go back to school later this year, they're to act justly. Justly just means fairly. You're to treat each other fairly. And you're not even in law enforcement. And so I think what's happening is that this justice debate has gotten so to one side with regard to law enforcement that everybody else, a lot of people are acting unjustly in the world, and they're flying under the radar. Nobody's reporting on them. Your neighbor could be living next to you, and maybe they have a tree that they needed to take down, but they chose not to do that. And it falls on your garage and just crushes the roof in. And they say, sorry. And they just go on their merry way. That's not just. That's not fair. That's not right. But they're not going to make the evening news for that. The person that's going to make the evening news, unfortunately, is the law enforcement officer who does something that he or she shouldn't do. They're going to make the evening news, but not your neighbor who acts unjustly toward you. They're not going to make the evening news. Number three, just as a big takeaway here, one should never engage in injustice while protesting unjust things. And that's what's going on today. People are crying out for justice and they're protesting injustices while simultaneously they're breaking the law. So we're not allowed to protest injustices while we're engaging in justice ourselves. What we're going to find when we look at the Old Testament is that the prophets are going to cry out. Listen, then if you see an injustice, call it out. Cry out. But we're not allowed to engage in unlawful behavior while we're trying to protest unlawful behavior. We're not allowed to commit injustices while we're protesting unjust behavior. Two wrongs don't make a right. So let's look at the matter of justice this evening. And where it begins is God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. You see all these Bible passages. A lot of times I'll put material together where I know that we don't have time to look at all of these things, but I put it together in a way in case somebody wants to study or look at this more, so that's why I do that sometimes. I know that we don't have time, obviously, to look at all of these things, but we just finished the book of Deuteronomy, so turn with me to a couple of passages in Deuteronomy. Where does this whole discussion begin? It begins with God. We serve a God that is a just and fair and equitable God. And because of His nature, He wants His people to be just. And this is very important. The God that we serve wants His people to be just like Him, to take on the same nature as He is. And He is just. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 18, speaking of God, He doth execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and loveth the sojourner in giving him food and raiment. And in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, the great song of Moses, where God is described as a rock. The rock, God, His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is He. So it all comes from God. It's not American history. It's not Western civilization, that some Western civilizations tend to be more just than others. It's not that. It all started with God. And people either follow His character and His nature or they don't. Israel did for a while, and we're going to see this evening that even the prophets had to call them out for their injustices later. But it all starts with God. So rather than starting this evening with a definition of justice, like we would commonly do, what is justice? I wanted to start right here. Who is justice? We'll get to a definition in a minute, but I believe it's more important to start with the who. And it's God. And when we get that down, that God is just, meaning fair and reasonable and equitable, and what is lawful and what is right, when we start with God and work out from there, we can begin to see that as a child of God today, we are to have that nature in our life. And listen to me carefully. It doesn't matter what country we live in. If we're going to be right with God, we need to be like Him. It doesn't matter. We could live in any country on the face of this earth, and it doesn't matter what the government is like in that country. We are to be just because we are to be like God. And there are Christians around the world that live in other places that don't have the government that we have, good or bad. They have a different set of things that they have to live by. But if we're going to follow the biblical principles, we're going to have to be like God no matter where we live. It's not just about law enforcement. When this service is over with this evening, when we talk with each other and when we deal with each other, we need to be just. And when we go home tonight to our spouses and our children and go to work tomorrow and we're with our neighbors, we're supposed to be just. It's not just about law enforcement. We're supposed to be like God. And if you'll notice in that passage that we just read in chapter 10 and verse 18, you'll notice there it had nothing to do with law enforcement. It said how that God takes care of the widow and the sojourner. It's not just law enforcement. It's how we personally treat one another. Justice in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word misfat, which means, as we're going to see in a minute, that which is fair and reasonable and equitable. About 133 times in the Old Testament. This is a very important topic with God. It's not just mentioned once or twice, over 100 times. The other Hebrew word that is commonly associated with it is the word righteousness, or righteous, tzaddik, mentioned many times in the Old Testament. And so it's that which is fair. Turn with me to Isaiah 49 and verse 4. I think one of the best ways to define justice is not just to give a dictionary definition, but to see how it's actually used by God Himself. So let's see what it means to be just. And by the way, as we go down through this list, let's ask ourselves, am I like that with my family members and my friends and my neighbors and things like that? All of us are to have these things, not just law enforcement. In Isaiah 49 in verse 4, but I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my recompense is with God. Notice how justice is used with what is due me, what is my recompense. So justice is what rightly is to be given to someone under a certain circumstance, whatever that is. Am I fair? Am I giving the person what they are due or what is deserving? Number two, when I am just, I am someone who is following the law in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 5. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, I'm following the law when I'm just. Number three, I'm engaging in that which is true. Now, all of this, of course, is based upon God's definition of law and true and right and those types of things. Now, as I said earlier, as our nation moves away from a godly people to an ungodly people, then it'll be like the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and we're already seeing that in our nation today. But assuming the standard of law and true is God's word, when I engage in those things, I am engaging in that which is just. So look at same chapter, verses 8 and 9. He that has not given forth upon interest, neither has he taken away increase, that he has not withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true justice between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and kept mine ordinances to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live. So that which is by law, that which is true, that which is fair, that which is right, in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9, what is right and what is equal. I'm going to treat everybody equal under the law. I'm not going to be prejudiced. I'm not going to base it on the person, the color of a person's skin. I'm not going to base it on their socioeconomic background. Everybody that I face, I'm going to treat equally and fairly. Turn with me to Psalm 99 and verse 4. Justice. It's to be in every aspect and walk of our life. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been treated unfairly by anybody? That happens from time to time. Let me ask you this. Were they a police officer? No. It's just, could have been a neighbor, could have been a co-worker, could have been somebody at school. You ever been treated unfairly? Well, that was unjust what they did, but they don't have to be a police officer, you see. Justice is supposed to be in every fabric of our society. Every person, every walk of life, that's to be the case. And with regard to the king, look at this. The king's strength also loves justice. Thou dost establish equity. So often, when you look at these Bible passages, the word justice is used, and a few verses away from it, another word is used to help describe what that is. And so the king is going to act justly, but it's going to be what? Equity. So everybody is treated the same way. And because of God and His law and these things that we've been reading and much more, Israel had a sense of what it meant to have justice in their society. And we're going to see tonight that they left that and the prophets had to call them back. But not only did Israel have a sense of what was right, and they got that from God, but the Gentile world. Turn with me to Acts 28 and verse 4. This is an interesting story. Do you remember when Paul was on the island of Miletus? Malta, on the Isle of Malta. Turn with me to Acts chapter 28. The Gentile world, this is all non-Israel people, they had a sense of justice. Well, where did they get that from? They didn't have the Bible. They got that from interaction with God's people down through time. They learned different principles, and they had written on their heart the law of God. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2. The Gentile world didn't actually have the law of Moses, but they had the law written on their heart. They had proper principles in their life that they got by interacting with God's people and God's law, even though the law was not personally given to them. And do you remember when Paul gets bitten by the serpent in Acts chapter 28 and verse 4, and the barbarians saw that the creature hanging on his hand, they said one to another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped from the sea, yet justice has not suffered to live." In other words, justice caught up with him. And he got bit by this serpent and he's going to die. Justice caught up with him. Why did they say that? They had a sense of that somebody's done wrong and so here's their punishment. And Aristotle and Socrates and others 300 years before the time of Christ talked about justice. Where did they get that principle? They got it ultimately going back to God and his interaction from Adam and Eve forward. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 4. What's the very first recorded concept of justice in Scripture? Somebody might argue that it was Adam and Eve being cast out of the garden, and that would certainly be so. But I have in mind, look at Genesis chapter 4, when Cain killed his brother Abel. Why didn't God just let that go? Why didn't he just say, "Well, I wish you hadn't have done that, but no big deal"? What is said there in the story? "Thy brother's blood," Genesis 4:11, "thy brother's blood cries out from the ground, which he has opened. And now cursed art thou from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Verse 10, "What have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." What is that? That's justice. I've seen what's done. The bloodshedding cries to me, and now I'm going to punish you. That's justice. I'm going to give you something that you deserve. It started right there in Genesis chapter 4. And from there all the way through time, we've had this concept of what we call justice. It comes from God. It's based upon God, as we've just seen. His character, his nature. It's not based upon Western civilization. It's not based upon early American law. It goes all the way back to Genesis 4. It goes back to God, a God of justice. And then in time, God made sure that that was codified in the law of Moses. And we're going to see later even in the New Testament. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. So, number one, justice comes from the nature of God himself. And number two, those justices are recorded in law, codified law. Now, early on, in many nations, law was based upon Judeo-Christian principles. But as we see, when time goes on, when there's more and more secular nations coming about, and we're seeing that even in our own country, then codified law will not reflect God's justice. It'll just simply reflect man's opinion. But in Proverbs chapter 35, this is talking about don't give alcohol to a king. You're going to impair his judgment. Look at this, Proverbs 31 verse 4. "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to say, 'Where is strong drink?'" Look at this. "Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice due to any that is afflicted." So notice the parallel between forgetting the law and then perverting justice. You're not going to follow the law. Verse 9. "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and minister justice to the poor and needy." It's based upon law. And when we drink, we're impaired. Everybody knows that. we're impaired, and so we forget the law, and then we pervert justice. Notice the connection between the two. Codified law. Now, we have laws of the land. We hold in our hands this evening the old law of Moses, the law of Christ. But in that law are principles of how to treat people fairly. Who was to carry out justice? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. This gets back to what I've been saying before. This is not a law enforcement issue. Every individual here this evening, all of us are to carry out justice. All of us are to be acting properly in any interaction we have with anyone in our life. And God knew that Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice. And notice that justice here is present even in the days of the patriarchs. This is before the law of Moses. Justice doesn't go back just simply to the law of Moses. It goes back to Abraham. He was a patriarch. It goes back to Cain and Abel. It goes back to the beginning of time. And God knew that Abraham would do justice. So that principle was there even in his time. But I want you to notice that it's the individual. Israel as a whole was to do justice. And we just finished the book of Deuteronomy, and there's some passages there where Moses is addressing all of Israel to act justly. And in the days of the coming of Jesus, when he was born, there were those, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Joseph acted justly, Matthew 1:19, and Zacharias and Elizabeth, Luke 1:17. When Jesus was born, there were some Jews who were a part of that faithful remnant. They were acting justly. And Joseph of Arimathea in Luke 23:50, the text says he was a just man, a just and righteous man. So there were a few Israelites who were willing to act justly toward others. Many of them were not. Of course, this is what we're most familiar with today. Turn with me to Exodus 23. We would expect judges to act justly. And of course, I've been saying all along that it's not just simply a law enforcement issue. It's not. Every individual is to act justly. But what about judges? Turn with me to Exodus 23. Of course, they need to be just and right. Verse 2, speaking of the judges, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to turn aside after a multitude to wrest justice, neither shalt thou favor a poor man in his cause. Verse 6, thou shalt not wrest or twist the justice due to thy poor in his cause. Judges are to be fair. And we see today, and there are many activist judges who are not judging according to the law or the Constitution. They're just simply passing their judgments based upon their personal opinions. And then they hide behind the black cloak and they get by with it, including our Supreme Court. They're supposed to give liberty and justice for all. And in our country, what's becoming is, well, I'll give that to people unless I don't like the person. And then they're not going to have liberty and justice for all. But judges were to give a proper judgment. Kings were to do the same. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 8 and verse 15. The first few passages that were given here deal with David and Solomon. Kings were to rule justly. And the question is why? They are to make sure that on earth, people are acting like God acts in heaven. God is just. The rock, Deuteronomy 32, the rock is just. So on earth, people are to act in the same way. Individually, a nation, judges, and kings. It is very important for individuals to keep setting that forth. Otherwise, people just lose their way. In 2 Samuel 8 and verse 15, then David reigned over all Israel, and David executed justice and righteousness unto all his people. And we would want a leader to do that. Many don't, and they're corrupt. And some kings later did not do that. the next few passages listed there on the overhead deal with Solomon. The passages in the Psalms deal with any king. There's to be justice in his ruling. Now, this is kind of what we commonly think of with regard to the subject of justice. What areas of our life are we to see justice? Well, we've already made the argument that it's just in every walk of our life. What are some of the common things that come to mind? Well, first of all, in the Old Testament, justice is described with regard to business practices. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 36. And the typical illustration that is given is that of just weights and measures. That's what Abraham read this morning in the scripture reading. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 36. So if you're a business owner and you're offering a product, you're selling a product, you need to be just and fair and equal. So let's say you're selling something. We'll use the modern equivalent of the pound. They had different words for their weights. But if you're selling 2 pounds of goods, 2 pounds of wheat, and you put 2 pounds of wheat on one side of the scale, your weight over here better be 2 pounds. It doesn't need to be under. It doesn't need to be over. It needs to be exactly what you are charging for. And so in business practices, we are to be fair and just and equal and proper and right and lawful. So in chapter 19 and verse 36, this is the common statement that is made. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, that's a measurement, a just hin, that's a measurement, shall you have. I am Jehovah your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. All these other passages speak the same way. So in our business practices, we are to have justice. In the court system, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Again, you would recognize it here. You would understand that justice would be in the court system, hopefully. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 18. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, according to thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Thou shalt not rest or twist justice. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither shalt thou take a bribe, for a bribe does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, and that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Jehovah thy God gives thee. Have you ever heard the expression that Lady Justice is blind? We actually have that on the Supreme Court building, if I'm not mistaken. It's taken from that statement in verse 19. For a bribe doth blind the eyes of the wise. Lady Justice is actually supposed to be blind. We're just simply going to execute the law. We're not going to be swayed one way or the other by what we see or think or feel. And we're not going to be taking a bribe and that type of thing. So the court system, from local courts here in Clarksville, then we have district courts and circuit courts and on up to the Supreme Court system, it's all supposed to be just. But we know, just like in Bible times, that's not always the case. When punishment was meted out to individuals, it was to be just. The Hebrew writer talks about under the old law in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2 that every sin received a just recompense of reward. When punishment is meted out to an individual, it is to be just. So, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's look at a few injustices that are listed in Scripture. When you hear today that injustices are going on, again, we tend to think based upon what's in the news or what we see on the TV. And it's being framed today about the law enforcement officer who's not acting right. And some of them don't. They don't act right. But it's being framed that this person in law enforcement is not acting right. Well, we're going to read some passages here that have nothing to do with law enforcement. And yet there's all kinds of injustice going on. It can happen in any segment of our society, and we can engage in it if we're not careful. So first of all, just the general word wickedness is used in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 16. Murder is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 21 as being that which is unjust. Do you know a few weeks ago, just recently, when some people were protesting the murder of George Floyd? Listen carefully. Do you know that when they were doing that in one part of our country that they murdered someone? Well, why is it that the murder of George Floyd is bad, but when I murder someone, oh, that's fine because I'm protesting the murder of George Floyd? All murder's wrong. All killing is wrong. And yet we justify it when we're protesting and when we're mad. But then we call it out when somebody else does it. It's all wrong. Bribes, taking a bribe. Do you remember where it says in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 3 that Eli's sons were taking a bribe and they were perverting justice in their tabernacle? Taking a bribe. Oppression. When we oppress someone, when we mistreat the poor and the widow. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We wouldn't think about this. There are people who oppress others all day long and it never makes the evening news. They mistreat, they oppress, they hurt people, and it never makes the evening news. That is just as much injustice as anything else in life. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent taking away of justice and righteousness in a province, marvel not at the matter. Even in Solomon's day it was going on. Oppressing the poor, taking advantage of them, hurting them in some way. That's injustice. Robbery. There were scores of people this summer protesting the injustices of killing a man. And the moment that they're protesting that, they're stealing from stores. What that law enforcement officer did was bad. What I'm doing is perfectly fine. No, it's injustice. It's robbery. And I don't think you can get any greater hypocrisy than that. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12. The very moment that we're crying out for injustice, injustice, I'm engaged in an injustice. The height of hypocrisy. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, Isaiah 10:1, and to the writers that write perverseness. To turn aside the needy from justice, and to rob the poor of my people and their right, that widows may be their spoil, and that they may make the fatherless their prey. You turn aside the needy from justice and you rob them. Robbery. That's an injustice. It's a dark place. Isaiah says that in his day, about 700 years before the time of Christ, it was out of hand, just like it's out of hand today among many people. Isaiah 59, verse 8. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein doth not know peace. Therefore is justice far from us, neither doth righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in obscurity. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yea, we grope as they have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the twilight. Among them that are lusty, we are as dead men. We roar all like bears and moan sore like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as our iniquities, we know them. Transgression and denying Jehovah and turning away from following our God. Speaking oppression and revolt. Sound like the news today? Conceiving and uttering from the hearts words of falsehood. And justice is turned away backward and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yea, truth is lacking, and he that departs from evil maketh himself a prey. You try to do good, and you're going to get hurt. Same thing going on today. Jehovah saw it, and it displeased him that there was no what? No justice. When we afflict people, when we hurt people, when we hit them, that's going on right now. You know, there are spouses that'll beat their spouse. That never makes the evening news. It's unjust. Treating them unfairly, taking things from them that they shouldn't take, it's unfair. It's affliction. It's wrong. The Bible calls it unjust. Turn with me to Psalm 82. When we have just simple respect of persons and we treat people differently, that's unjust. That never makes the evening news. What's happened, brethren, is that this subject of justice has gravitated toward one slice of the problem when it goes on all day long among many, many people in all different kinds of circumstances. It's all wrong. Psalm 82, verses 2 and 3. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Judge the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. And so forth. Respect of persons is unjust. Violence is unjust. Like I said earlier, there will be people who will be out protesting injustice, injustice, while they are violently protesting that. Turn with me to Ezekiel 45 and verse 9. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil, taking other people's things that you shouldn't have, and execute justice and righteousness. Take away your exactions from my people, says the Lord. You shall have just balances and a just ephah and a just bath and so forth, business practices. Remove violence and spoil and execute justice. So these are some injustices that are listed in Scripture. One last one and then we'll close. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. And this is happening today, just like it was in Malachi's day. When you take something that is evil according to God's Word and you call it good, oh, homosexuality, that's good. And killing the unborn, oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. When you do that, that itself is an injustice. And we have that going on all the time today. Calling evil good. Malachi 2 verse 17, you have wearied Jehovah. It wears him out. And this is God's people, by the way. You have wearied Jehovah with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? We haven't done that. Show me where I've done that. In that you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Jehovah. And he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? You have said, everyone that does evil is good. And where is this God of justice? He's not going to take care of any of that. That happens all the time today. These are some injustices that are listed in Scripture. And you can see where many, many people are engaged in these kinds of things today, and they don't make the evening news. It's still injustice. And so, I want to close this evening. I knew that there would be a lot of material. We haven't even finished all of the Old Testament material, but I want to close with this, and then we'll pick up next week. Turn with me to Amos chapter 5. The prophets denounced this and they called it out and they called people back to the justice of God. Amos chapter 5 and verse 7. You who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. Verse 15. Hate evil and love the good and establish justice in the gate. It may be that Jehovah, the God of hosts, will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Verse 24, the famous statement of Amos, "But let justice roll down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream." You've got to bring this back to your life, Amos says. And notice that not one time, we've just read one, not one time did the prophets tell anybody to break the law while they're trying to protest injustices. They called people back to God, and that's how we do it. We've got to come back to God. And Micah, in Micah chapter 6, in verse 8, he asks the question, "What does the Lord require? What does God want?" This is how we get people to come back. "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require?" Micah 6, verse 8. "But to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with thy God." Amos and Micah never told any of the Israelites to get out in the street and loot and pillage and burn and hurt people in order to call out injustices. You can preach the Word of God. Encourage people to do what is right, but we cannot engage in lawlessness while we're trying to protest lawlessness. Two wrongs don't make a right. Jesus even denounced this in his own day, and we'll look at that some more next week. So, what can we do? We'll close. Vote. Vote in people who appear to have a record of being just and right and truthful. Vote in somebody who is going to be more lawful and right and good. You can do that. You can run for public office. Every once in a while, a Christian will be in a situation where, especially on the local level, they can run for public office and bring some justice and righteousness and truth back to the public square. Pray. We're supposed to pray for our leaders in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Pray that our leaders will come back to just and right principles. Let's never underestimate the power of prayer. And then share God's Word with others. Now I realize that for many people that's not enough. That's not good enough. That's not active enough. That doesn't get people's attention enough. I realize that that's what the world is saying. I get that. And when you go out and cause havoc in the street, then you can really, you know, get somebody's attention. But that's not the right way. And Amos and Micah and Isaiah and Hosea, they preached God's Word. That's how you get people to come back to what is right and good. Well, we'll close with that. Reggie, if you'll just get rid of that. That's not the last slide. You can just take that off and load the invitation song, please. As we close this evening, I want us to think about that we serve a God of justice. And to close on this note, in Romans chapter 3, Paul says that God is just and the justifier. If we will put our faith in Christ and come and obey Him, what God did to His Son on the cross allowed God to be just, to punish sin, but it also allowed Him to be a justifier, where we can come through faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ, and have forgiveness of sins. God is going to be just one way or the other. That's the kind of God we serve. And the beauty of that is we can come to Christ and be saved. Or as a child of God, if we've erred in some way, we can come back. We're living in a world where this topic is on a lot of people's minds. Our young people are seeing it and hearing it. And if you're having discussions with people around you, I want the biblical material that we're looking at this evening to give you the truth of what to say to others. And maybe even as adults, we have that opportunity as well. But we can't just simply go on what society is saying about these things. We have to go on what the Word of God says about these things. And most importantly, as we begin this week today, When you get up tomorrow, when I get up tomorrow, let's all act and walk justly. It's not just a law enforcement issue. It's for all of us. Let's all treat the other person the right way. If we can assist you and help you in coming to Christ this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?